from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, lawmakers vote to override yet another of Governor Tomlin's vetoes, this time of a bill deemed unconstitutional in two other states. In the House, a bill is progressing to allow alcohol sales on Sunday mornings, and we speak with Senate President Bill Cole, who discusses the controversy over some gubernatorial appointments and the challenge of balancing the 2017 budget. That conversation and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Lawmakers have voted to override Governor Tomlin's veto of a bill that bans a commonly used second trimester abortion method. In his veto message, Tomlin said Senate Bill 10 is overbroad and places an undue burden on a woman's constitutional right to privacy. But a majority of legislators disagreed, reversing the decision today.
Dear President Cole, pursuant to the provisions of Section 14, Article 7 of the Constitution of West Virginia, I hereby disapprove and return the enrolled committee substitute for Senate Bill 10.
Senators first took up the veto message from Governor Tomlin. Senate Bill 10 bans dilation and evacuation abortions except in cases of medical emergency. The bill permits those abortions, however, if the physician performs a procedure to stop the fetus's heart before performing the method. Senate Health Chair Ryan Ferns defended the bill on the floor.
What we're talking about here is rolling the dice on whether or not that unborn child can feel the procedure ripping them apart piece by piece.
The bill does not contain any civil or criminal penalties for doctors who perform the abortions illegally, but those physicians could lose their medical licenses. Those opposed to the measure argue the bill interferes with the doctor-patient relationship and takes away what is considered the safest option for the mother. Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler voted in favor of the bill in two previous votes the Senate has taken on the measure, but says after doing some research, his mind was changed.
I just stand here today and tell you that under those three guiding principles of it's, while it's legal, it should be rare and should be safe, I am extremely concerned that by passage of this bill, that we will be ignoring the safe principle and secondly, making illegal the safest method known by medical science. For that, Mr. President, I cannot push the green button on this bill and this override, and I would urge others to do the same.
The majority of senators, however, disagreed, and the Senate voted 25-9 to override the governor's veto. Members of the House took up the veto message later Thursday, also voting to reverse Tomlin's decision 85-15 without debate. With the votes from both chambers, the bill will become law in early June. Similar laws approved in Kansas and Oklahoma have been found unconstitutional.
Senators have delayed their consideration of more than 450 nominees to various state boards after a political tiff in the chamber's confirmations committee yesterday. GOP members of the committee voted to remove seven names from the list of appointees entered by Governor Tomlin, most of which had ties to the Democratic Party and labor. Confirmations Chair Senator Donna Boley said the decision was a, quote, political thing, something Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler loudly protested. Kessler had said Wednesday evening he would consider having all of the bills on the calendar today read in their entirety, including the 194-page Senate budget. Things were more civil, however, in the Senate today, at least when it came to confirmations, as Kessler and Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael exchanged short speeches on the floor.
I
must feel compelled to at least indicate that yesterday the series of events that occurred were unfortunate, obviously in confirmations. You know, they appear to be rare and unprecedented. And quite frankly, it was appeared the way things occurred, and some of us wish sometimes you can roll back the clock, but I think it was beneath the dignity of the Senate and some of the things that occurred yesterday and made us appear in many instances, you know, petty and small. You know, the people expect us to behave, Mr. President, all of us, like statesmen, not like partisan politicians. And it is my hope and expectation over the next 2 days that we'll behave like such and lead by example from this chamber, Mr. President, as we tackle the very difficult problems that we have facing our state.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also want to commend the manner in which the minority leader and others have dealt with circumstances that sometimes honestly do kind of get out of control. We absolutely want to maintain the dignity, honor, respect, and collegiality within this body. It is extremely important that we work together to move our state forward. And I think the process of delaying further consideration of this executive nominations gives an opportunity for us to rethink or to reconstitute our positions and work across the aisle to ensure that we do the right thing for the people of West Virginia. And I want to, again, thank you as Mr. President and the minority leader and those who have different opinions for working in such a dignified, honorable manner to hopefully find a resolution that we can all work together on, come together for the good of the state of West Virginia, and put our people first.
Senators will now consider the list of confirmations on Saturday, the final day of this legislative session. A spokesman for Governor Tomlin said Wednesday he was disappointed in the decision to remove the seven names. But in an interview prior to the floor session this morning, Senate President Bill Cole was unapologetic about the decision. So, Mr. President, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
We really appreciate having you.
My pleasure.
I think we need to start with what happened in the Senate yesterday dealing with the governor's confirmations. There were, what, 240 on a list for the Senate to look at, and about seven of those were taken off the list, not confirmed by members of the Senate. There's been some blowback that that was a political move. Some of them are Democrats, some of them really connected to labor interests. What's your response to that criticism that this was all politics?
Well, first of all, it's 454 names, and we pushed back on seven, and so that's, what, 1.5%, less than 2%. But you know, let's talk about the boards for just a minute. I think West Virginia has like 260 boards. The average state, I understand, has 75. Now, these boards, many of them do good work, and they're important, but many of them are just political favors. It's the old-time West Virginia politics in play, and you know, who can I do a favor for and put them on this board and pay them some money, and you know what, it's really time that we look at having a whole lot less boards, and I think there's 1,600 and some people on these boards. So you know, if the board's important, let's maybe ask that question first. No apologies for pushing back on seven. I mean, we have the right to push back on all 454. Now, obviously, we wouldn't do that, but I'm quite surprised at the amount of pushback over seven people. And you know, three of them were the PEIA board, and one was a Republican, one was a Democrat, and one was an independent. So I have a hard time understanding where the partisan push comes from.
Let's move on to the budget. I think that's the biggest issue facing the legislature at this time. The Senate is set to vote on its version of the budget today. Right. Yesterday, we spoke with Speaker Armstead about the House version of the budget, and those differ greatly because the Senate has approved some revenue-increasing measures. That includes extra money for road funding, from an increase in DMV fees, an increase in some taxes, also an increase in the tobacco tax. Because of the tight fiscal year, the House has not approved any of those revenue-increasing measures. Because of this tight fiscal year, do you blame the House for the situation that we're in?
No, you know, there's just generally speaking, there's a pushback on any of the revenue increases or tax increases that the governor's suggested, and I understand that. As tough as it is in West Virginia right now, we don't want to put more pressure, more strain on those West Virginians that are still working and earning a living. Having said that, it is a tough budget to bring in if we don't do any revenue increase, and the House has pushed back the hardest on those. So that leaves us either doing horrific cuts in the budget or maybe dipping into our taxpayer savings account, otherwise known as the rainy day fund. That's what it's there for, and I do believe that that'll be part of the solution of how we get out of this budget year.
Well, Speaker Armstead said the same thing. He said part of the plan, at least on the House end, is to pull some money from the rainy day fund, but those are one-time monies, and we're balancing a budget on money that isn't going to come back next year. Is that a fiscally responsible move to take?
Let me put it this way. If you lost your job or were temporarily laid off and all of a sudden you're facing financial strain, you still have a car payment, you still have a rent or a mortgage payment. If you've been smart enough to have a savings account, that's what the savings account's for. Now, it doesn't mean you're not out looking for a job and looking to fix what's wrong, and we need to do that in the state. You know, frankly, what needs to happen, unfortunately, as we look at the budget, the legislature can cut the budget, can cut state government, but they can't cut it surgically. They cut it with a machete. We can't reach in and say, is that department really necessary, or is that subdivision really necessary? That's something that has to come out of the governor's office. The governor, the executive branch, is the one that can take a scalpel and reform and reshape state government. And I think that's a lot of what needs to happen. Now, obviously, we need to work hard at selling our way into prosperity and bringing those jobs that'll put West Virginia back on the right track. I think legislatively, that's what we've worked at for 2 years now. Trying to clear the path for that in our legal reforms and our regulatory reforms.
So you and the Speaker put together a special commission over at the interim session last year to focus on tax reform. Not a lot of the things that the Tax Reform Commission focused on came into being during this session. But do you anticipate that's something that will continue?
Well, our timing was terrible. We had no idea when we were studying our tax code last summer that in the fall the governor was going to call us and say we're $250 million short on our budget, and then later at the end of the year say no, we're $353 million short on the budget. Who knows where we'll end up, but we can't. Tax reform's not going to come when we're in the middle of a budget crisis. There has to be some cushion. When you make changes, substantive changes in the tax code, you have to be ready for some unintended consequences. And we certainly don't want to run down the road like Kansas did and all of a sudden find themselves in dire straits having to raise taxes and you know, right on the heels of their tax reform.
This afternoon, the Senate will vote on a bill to repeal the Common Core-based education standards in West Virginia. That's something that you all looked at last year, and it's kind of taken a similar path this year. The House voted to repeal. The Senate's bill looks more like a study, more like a review to suggest changes that the State Board of Education could possibly make to improve those standards. Do you think the Senate is on the right track with that change?
Well, first of all, Common Core has already been repealed by the Board of Education. They voted to do away with Common Core. You know, the one overarching thing to me is the fact that we're still at 48th place student achievement. So those that want to hold on to the status quo and keep doing it the same way because it's working so well, I don't get that. We're sending kids to college that have to take remedial math and English before they can even start their real college studies. So we obviously have some things broken in our education system. We need to work to fix them. I think as far as this bill goes, the one thing that I certainly want to see come out of it is to do away with the smarter balance testing. Personally, I don't mind back to the old days, like when I grew up, that we actually have a final exam that's part of the grade, and that says Did they learn what the course content said they should learn? So I think there's some common sense answers here, but I keep hearing ACT. There's others out there that can do testing, but it's up to us to create a good set of standards going forward, and then provide that we have a test that tests to those standards, and then you fill in the middle, and that's what our educators do, and that's called curriculum.
There are dozens of bills left out there for both chambers to vote on. Are there any other bills, anything else that you think is incredibly important for this legislature to get through before the end of the session Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, we're carefully looking at the calendar right now and making sure that we get those important things through. It seems like we get to the end of the session and always lose something that we wish we could have gotten across the finish line. And you know, we need to consider whether we believe the governor's gonna go along with it or veto it. There's certainly not any sense in wasting a lot of time on a bill that we feel certain the governor's gonna veto, because we don't have the ability to override it at the end of session.
Okay. Senate President Bill Cole, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
As mentioned in that interview, senators did take up their version of the budget today. The Senate's budget bill includes a $1 per pack increase in the state's cigarette tax, the end of the state's greyhound breeding subsidies, and a measure to allow limited video lottery owners to increase the number of terminals in their businesses. Senator John Unger calls these three provisions revenue-increasing measures. The three combined would have brought in some $140 million in additional state funds. But all three of the measures died in the House. So Unger argued on the floor today, allowing those additional revenues to be reflected in the Senate budget will put the chamber in a compromising position when the House and Senate meet to negotiate the final 2017 budget next week. Unger expressed his concerns on the floor to Senate Finance Chair Mike Hall.
You just admitted that in our budget, we have $139.3 million of this proposal here that doesn't even exist. It's not even reality. It's fictional. We know that. So all of a sudden, how are we going to hold our position on these proposal when this proposal, a portion of this and a vast portion of this of $139.3 million is fictional? Because even if there's no way of doing it.
Well, let me answer that question, because it sounds bad to the public that we would put a document out here that was fictional. But so let me explain to the public so they'll know that we were irresponsible in doing this. When you do a budget, and you know, because you've been on finance and you've been in the leadership here before, and you're dealing with your analyst, that you have to pick a date certain where you're going to do your budget. You have to stop. Michael says, I've got to know where I can start doing the budget. You can't wait till day 60 at 11:59 before the clock clicks to know everything that's happening. Now, my hope was, maybe even my prayer was, and maybe it was unanswered, Senator, that the House might generate some revenue. I guess I don't have enough faith or something. But so they didn't, but it's legitimate for us not to create a fictional document, I would say, but a document based upon our actions.
Senators voted 29-5 to approve their budget bill. It now heads to the House of Delegates. Senators also voted on and approved a bill to repeal the state's Common Core education standards. But as the Senate Education Committee's chair explained on the chamber floor today, the short title of the bill does not accurately reflect its purpose. Common Core was repealed by the State Board of Education in December and was replaced with the West Virginia College and Career Ready standards. As approved in the House, the bill included the creation of a commission to review those standards, but today, senators amended the commission's makeup. It would include West Virginia teachers, principals, and representatives of college math, English, and engineering departments who will recommend revisions. The State Board of Education, however, is not required to adopt the revised standards. The latest version of the bill does require the State Board to repeal the Smarter Balance assessment and adopt a new standardized test for the state. The bill limits the grades that can be submitted to testing, but removes a House provision decision to allow students to opt out or refuse to test. Senators voted 22-12 in favor of the amended bill. It will return to the House of Delegates so members can consider the Senate amendments. A bill to bump up alcohol sales on Sundays from 1 p.m. to 10 a.m. is moving in the House, even after Speaker Tim Armstead said it wasn't a priority this session. Businesses across the state have cried out for the bill's approval, calling it an economic development measure. Liz McCormick reports on its progress today.
Earlier this week, House Judiciary amended Senate Bill 298 in committee, a bill that has been affectionately referred to as the brunch bill, to include a provision requiring county voters approve of the time change through a referendum. As approved by the Judiciary Committee, the bill would not require county commissioners to hold elections to allow the sales, only permit such measures on a ballot. The full House voted on the amendment to the bill today, but with some debate. Democrat Isaac Spinoggle of Pendleton County spoke in opposition to the change.
And now we are trying to run it back down and have all 55 counties put a referendum vote on whether to decide or not we're going to have sale of alcohol at restaurants from 10 to 1 a.m. We're just moving it back 3 hours. I believe this body is fully capable of making a decision for the entire state whether or not we're going to move the drinking time back 3 hours without putting on the ballot in all 55 counties.
Vice Chairman of Judiciary Delegate Patrick Lane of Kanawha County spoke in favor of the amendment and said what passed in the Senate would likely not pass in the House.
I certainly understand the point made by my friend from the 55th. However, I would suggest that regardless of the form that the bill was in when it passed the Senate, I would suggest to you that if you are interested in having a brunch bill, that this is the form that ought to be adopted, because I would suggest that while it may have been unanimous or close to it in the Senate, it would be very far from unanimous or close to it in the House, and would likely die tomorrow. So if you prefer to have this bill at all, I would suggest adoption of the judiciary amendment.
The amendment passed 58-38. Senate Bill 298 will be up for a vote in the House tomorrow. The county referendum was not a part of the bill as approved in the Senate, so if approved in the House, it will also have to return to the Senate for further consideration. The bill's lead sponsor, Senator Chris Walters, has said he would prefer the bill allowed counties to opt out of the Sunday morning sales, but there is no official word from Senate leadership that the change will be considered. For the Legislature Today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
Bill Cole was elected to the West Virginia Senate in 2012. A Republican, he's from Mercer County, representing the 6th Senatorial District. Cole serves as the Senate President and the Chair of the Committee on Rules. President Cole became an Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts of America by the age of 13. He's also an airline-rated pilot with more than 38 years and 4,000 total hours of flying experience. Tim Armstead is the Speaker of the House of Delegates, taking over the post in 2015. A Republican, he's from Kanawha County and represents the 40th House District. He was appointed to his seat in 1998 and has won re-election to the chamber since. Speaker Armstead previously served as the minority leader for 8 legislative sessions.
Lawmakers are inching closer to their final deadline this legislative session, and you can watch all of the action as it happens live. Tune in to the West Virginia Channel both tomorrow and Saturday morning at 11 for the House and Senate floor sessions. You can also stream them live and keep up with the latest legislative news on our website, wvpublic.org. This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.